I'm going to read from 1 John, in the first chapter of 1 John. The letters of John, the back of the New Testament, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, nowhere do the letters tell us that John, the gospel writer, wrote them. But they deal with many of the same themes that John's gospel deals with and use much of the same language and imagery as John's gospel. So the church has always, and it's the tradition of the early church, that the same John who wrote John's gospel is the author of the three letters. So John 1 and 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The blood of Jesus, his son, God's son, cleanses us from all sin. I told you earlier at the close of the service, we're going to sing Are You Washed in the Blood, which is a fun song that asks a serious question. We just sang There is a Fountain Filled with Blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners washed beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. We began singing about the blood of Christ when we sang Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Now, I was taught years ago, I was taught in seminary, that we should avoid, speaking to contemporary people, we should avoid blood imagery because it puts people off. Well, as I like to say, I attended San Francisco Theological Seminary, but I didn't learn anything, so don't worry. And it probably is true that some people today are put off by the imagery of blood. People in the first century were put off by the imagery of blood. In fact, Jesus at one point said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part of me. And a lot of people, it said, John's gospel tells us, a lot of people heard that and said, what? And they left. But also, there probably is a cultural dynamic. I was thinking about, really give it some thought this week, as to why is blood so off-putting to so many people. I think maybe part of it is because most of us don't see very, very much blood in our lives, and when we do, it's a bad thing. Whereas in previous generations, I don't consider myself, terribly old, when I was a kid, I watched my granddad slaughter animals. There was a lot of blood everywhere, and it didn't bother anybody. That was just part of the process. Whereas today, We go into the supermarket and get that nice shrink-wrapped roast, and we don't have to see any of the process. It's all hidden from us. But today I want you to consider that the blood of Jesus is the most precious gift ever given. In the Bible, blood is the carrier of life. And the symbol of his blood poured out for us, and it's not just a symbol, it's a historical fact, his shed blood, is the symbol of his pure and spotless life poured out to cleanse us. Another change in our lives today is most of us never get really, really dirty. At least I don't, in the work that I do. I rarely get good and dirty. Now, when I was a kid doing farm work, I got dirty. Filthy dirty, head to toe dirty. And I loved working on my Grandpa Lewis's farm because he had a shower house. Did anybody grow up on a farm that had a shower house? It was outside. It was near the barn. So that Grandpa had a place to shower, because Grandma wouldn't let him in the house at the end of the day until he cleaned up. So the shower house was out by the barn, and you could take a nice shower out there and get all cleaned up before you track all that dirt into the house. There are times when you just need a good bath, and every person on the planet needs a cleansing from the soil of sin and brokenness. And that's what this text is all about. But let's start out. I want to work through it verse by verse. First of all, verse 5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Notice that there's an affirmation and then a negation. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You see, at the time, John was probably dealing with a false teaching. It wasn't quite full-blown Gnosticism yet, but it would have been a kind of a proto-Gnosticism that taught that God has a light side, this kind of light, not light in terms of weight, but light in terms of illumination. God has a light side and God has a dark side, many of the Gnostics taught. And they were trying to, some teachers were trying to introduce that into Christianity. And by the way, you all have been taught Gnosticism if you've ever seen Star Wars. Right? Seriously. It's a revival of ancient Gnosticism, the idea of the Force. Right? And the Force is this invisible spiritual power that is everywhere throughout the universe. It can be used for good, and it has a dark side. The Force has a dark side, doesn't it? Okay, well, that's a make-believe movie, and I love Star Wars, by the way. I don't anybody, try to run me out for being anti-Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I can't wait for the new ones to come out. Anyway, God, the true God, is nothing like the Force. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no dark purpose whatsoever in God. God is all about the light. God is all about truth. God is pure goodness. We don't ever need to worry that God is going to somehow, that God has this angry, simply vindictive side. My hero, Martin Luther, many of you know that he struggled for years and years in his relationship with God, wondering how could he find a good God, because he was under this constant oppression of his sins and his sinfulness. He thought, there's no way that God can love me. The Holy Spirit finally broke through that, and Luther liked to say after that experience, when you think of God, You probably have this image. I'm paraphrasing freely here, but this is the gist of what he said. You have this image of this mighty king on a throne, high and exalted. Get that out of your mind. That's an idol. Look to a baby in a manger and a man on a cross and behold your God. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Now, when John says God is light, he not only means God gives light, God is light. It's a synonym for truth. And truth has a way of not only guiding us in the way we should go, but exposing us when we're wrong and exposing our sin. And that leads us into verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we're walking in the darkness, we lie and we do not do what is true. Now, who are we lying to? Our own selves. We're not lying to him. God sees right through you, right back to your collar button. I don't suppose anybody has a collar button anymore, do they? But we're not lying to God. And truth be told, you're not even really lying to the people around you, the ones who really know you, because they see through your facade too. Walking in darkness. Walking is a metaphor for daily living. And I think what John is referring to here when he talks about daily living in darkness, not coming to the Lord every day with our sins for that daily cleansing, not walking in his living in his truth daily, but living in our own lies and deceptions and the lies and deceptions of the world. And when we do that, we're separated from him and we do not have fellowship with him or with one another. Now, I've got some really good news for you at this point. Christianity is not about trying really, really hard every day to live by God's truth. If that's what it is, I was just speaking for myself, I am the biggest failure in the room. Christianity is not about trying to live really bearing down every day and live as best as I can by his truth. There's a name for that. It's called legalism. It's not the gospel. There's a marvelous alternative to that, and we find it in verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How do I deal with my sin problem? How do I deal with the accumulated dirt on Phil Moran? It's not by trying really, really hard to be a good version of Phil. It's by trusting in the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin. The only way we can tell the truth and live in the light is to be washed by him. When you're washed in the blood of Christ, you have nothing to hide. You can give up all of those really silly efforts to hide what God knows about you anyway, and what most of the people close to you know about you anyway. You're the only one who's ever been fooled by your "I've got it all together" facade. This is good news. It means we don't have to cover up. We don't have to manage our sin problem, hide our brokenness. Isn't it much better to be cleansed, to be washed? I really think there's two kinds of Christian groups. But like anything, when I draw a neat distinction like this, probably most Christian groups can be both at the same time, or they can alternate back and forth. But there's really two kinds of Christian groups. There is one kind of Christian group where we come together and we really try hard to impress each other about how good we are. and about how righteous we are, and how well we know the Bible, and et cetera, et cetera. That kind of group has an unspoken agreement that nothing real will ever happen here. And we'll get together again next week and play the same game. The second kind of Christian group is where people are transparent and willing to say, I'm hurting, I'm broken. I need Jesus. I need you in my life. I've often thought that the church could learn a whole lot from Alcoholics Anonymous, which begins with lay it out there, honesty. My name's Phil. I'm an alcoholic. And then you start the conversation from there, right? That can only happen. Real fellowship like that can only happen among people who know how fouled with sin we are. And what a blessed gift it is to be washed in the blood. Now, once again, washing in blood doesn't seem to make much sense. It only makes sense if that blood is pure and powerful. The life of the only pure life ever lived, poured out and shared with us. That's what we're remembering every time we have the Lord's Supper. Remember, Jesus poured the cup. This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, in a moment, we're going to sing a song. It's a really fun song, and I get to play guitar today because Jeff's not here. Desperate times call for desperate measures. You may never see it. You may never see it again, as long as Jeff is here. But we're going to sing a fun song that asks a serious question. Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And I'm going to close with that question for you this morning. Because you, like me, are someone who really likes to give the impression that you've got it all together. But I know something about you. You're just like me. You're a broken sinner. And you don't live up to your own highest ideals, let alone the holy law of God. And there's only one remedy for you, and that's to get washed. Amen? Let's pray together. Mighty God, we would not dare approach. We would not dare approach you if it were not for the shed blood of our Savior Jesus. As your word tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no remission of sin. So we thank you for the mighty sacrifice of our Savior and the power of that blood that reaches across all of the centuries, right into this moment and into our lives. And I pray, O Lord, wash us. Make us clean and pure before you. Give us an honesty and a candor before one another, one washed person to another. Because without that, O Lord, there's no genuine love. There's only pretending. So we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. And may we come to him every day for that cleansing. I pray it in his name. Amen.